Episode 564. Thank you all for listening to episode 563, Bracketology 101. I am Gray, here with my co-host.
Baritology.
And parrotology.
I knew it. Fucking knew it. Love it. A chef parrot.
It should have been Chef Parrot.
No shit. Chef Parrot out here making the meals. And thanks, people. What's that?
Someone's got to do it.
That's right.
We should have changed our episode to Bracketology, like 15, after our or where our bracket's sitting right now.
Not looking good. But thank you to Wes Anderson for moments in time. Check him out on Facebook, Wes Anderson Music. Give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Songs by Wes. Thank you to All Work Clothing. Visit allworkclothing.com. Mention Overline Podcast and Brandon. We'll hook you up with that deal. Thank you to Crandall's Quality Landscaping. Give Parrot a call, 419-704-5471. Serves the Toledo and surrounding areas and not
Parrot's backyard.
We got to give Sean like a bird name.
He would remind
Parrot, you've been around him enough. What's his bird name?
Actually, he is going to serve my lawn care because I'm going to bring one of his mowers home and cut my grass.
So, what would be a good bird name for him? What's a very bushy bird?
Well, he speaks really fluid Spanish. So, what's like a Spanish bird? It's insane. Listening to him speak Spanish, it's absolutely insane.
The way Sean's hair is some days, I would say he's more like a peacock. How crazy it is. Not colorful, just crazy.
It's like a mix of a peacock and some sort of migratory bird.
Makes me think of the other guys every time. I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
Let me fly. So, thanks, Sean and Perry. Thank you to Paper Denim Art. Go to Facebook, check out Paper Denim Art. Tell Danny what you are interested in, and she will hook you up with that deal. Thank you to Sparty Steve, Gray Key Merch, and last but not least, Connell Barrett, datingtransformation.com.
Make sure you get over to Connell Barrett, datingtransformation.com, and get that free consultation when you mention Over the Line Podcast. And in the meantime, get to amazon.com and buy Connell's book, Dating Sucks. But you don't.
So golf sucked. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it was a brutal tournament for us. Great tournament for Peter Malnati, though, who won for the first time in 5 years, beating Cam Young by two after Keith Mitchell choked big time, had a two-shot lead, ended up shooting like, oh, goodness, I don't even know if I can find him on here. 76, something like that. Just rough for him. Yeah, man, just a great tournament for a guy who, doesn't win much on tour, but also is on the PGA Tour board, and they were talking about has had a lot of struggles. And there's Cody.
Trying to figure out how many people like Pat's not doing shit.
I don't know what you just said.
Oh, man. Can you hear me?
A little bit better now.
Hey, what up, Kenny? That's what I was trying to catch, how many people on the floor are not doing shit.
Yeah, what he said. I have no idea what you said.
Hold on.
There you go. Cody's going to figure out his at-work microphone problems. Sounds like he's eating the microphone.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the beep. Beep.
We'll get that here soon. Forklift Cody on the men. But yeah, Peter Malnati, PGA Tour Board of Directors, obviously has been having a great old time with that, with all the live stuff and everything. So yeah, good for him. Great story. Doesn't win much, but man, gets him into the Masters, gets him into all this stuff, gets him another card for 3 years on tour. A lot of big things with this win. So good for him. Love to see the guys out there. And it's the year of the underdog on the PGA. It just is another underdog wins. You know, Scotty won back to back, but every other one has been at least 100-1 odds pretty much on the dog, man. So it's good for them. But yeah, he beats Cam Young by two. Chandler Phillips, Mackenzie Hughes, tied third. Xander Schauffele, Ryan Moore, Carl Yuan, Adam Hadwin were all 8 under, tied fifth. And then Christian Bezenda, who and KH Lee were tied ninth. That is your top 10 for the tournament. For us, God, brutal. Everybody missed the cut except Gray and I, and we damn well almost missed the cut. Gray got a 64 out of Justin Thomas, who was the second round leader, by the way. He finished 64th, shooting a 79 on Saturday. And then I got a 67 out of Doug Gim, who shot even par every day, except the last day where he shot 75. So pretty brutal. Yeah, not great. So updated standings there. I'm at 34.3. Gray's at 36.3. Parrott's at 38 after having a hot start to the year. He's missed three cuts in a row, so we got to get him back on track. Jeremy 46.1, Dub 46.4, and Cody at 60.3, because, well, we just know he don't make picks. So going to this week, the Texans Children's Houston Open at the Memorial Park Golf Course. Your huge favorite is Scotty Scheffler this week. He's from Texas, coming back to play this course. But they just redid this course, actually. So they didn't play this tournament last year. The last time they played it was in 2022. And Tony Finau was your champion then. But 7,400-yard course, long course. Rough is going to be shorter than normal. So this course should play a little easier than it should. But it is not an easy track at all. You know, I feel that the cream of the crop is going to rise here. And we're going to have one of the bigger favorites win this week, in my opinion. But should be a good tournament. And I mean, the Texas guys normally show out at their courses. So your Scotty Schefflers, you know, Ryan Moore. I don't know if Spieth is playing this week. Spieth is not playing this week, so he won't be in it. But yeah, I mean, you're going to, you know, we got a good run of guys out here, and should make for a pretty good tournament. But we'll see if Scotty can win his third in a row that he's playing in, right? He didn't play last week, but we'll see if he can win three in a row of tournaments that he's entered coming this week to the Children's Houston Open, which he's a 3-1 favorite, which is one of the biggest favorites I've seen in golf in a long time. I mean, normally at best, you're getting 10-12-1. So 3-1 for Scotty is a pretty fat number. But I'll start it off this week, and I'm going to go with a guy who's actually done well here and has had a pretty good season to this point. We're going with Tom Hoagie, and it kind of makes me hungry for a sandwich. Gray, where are you going this week?
I'm going to go with, you know, somebody that gets fat on hoagies, and I'm going to go with Wyndham Rotunda Clark.
I would not. I would change that.
I'm not going with Wyndham Rotunda Clark.
He injured his shoulder or back or something. He said he was playing through the pain, but my guess is he's going to withdraw this week. And if he doesn't and he finishes high, my bad, I'll give him to you. But I would not pick him. I think he's going to withdraw. I think there's no point to risk injury when the Masters is 2 weeks away.
I did see another guy, and now the internet doesn't want to work as fast as I want it to. So come back to me, sir.
I will. Dub took Jason Day. Parrott, where are you going this week?
Jake Knapp.
Jake Knapp. Parrott going with his namesake this week. His name and literally what he likes to do all the time. So we're good.
What is a nap?
Isn't that what you take every night?
I go to bed every night.
Yeah, it's a nap, right? It's just an extended nap. Cody. Solid. Cody, can you hear us? He must be disappointed.
Oh, right, how about now? Is that better?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's better.
Okay.
Who you got for golf?
All right, let me see. Who I got. This one's for the kids, huh? Kids.
This one's for the kids. Texas, Children's, Houston, Open.
All right. Hold on. Just got all my stuff down. And as soon as I walk in, I see three people not doing shit. So
yell at them.
Well, that's what it took me so long.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
let me see. Oh, man.
Remember when we used to have fast shows?
Luckily, Cody probably won't do a repeat pick since he's gotten all the last place guys.
That's a true statement.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's go. Who's that? Bo Hostler. Why not? Damn, he got big head. Yeah, he, like, he never grew his as a kid.
Cody knows Bo. And Gray, where are you going?
Will I am Zalatoris.
There you go. He's playing some good golf. Yep. And I see you put in Jeremy for Scotty Scheffler.
He done.
He said from Jeremy, because no trivia this week. Doing horrible in golf, so not taking any risks this week. Scotty Scheffler to win.
Yeah, he has not had a single-digit finish yet this year. Rough. Rough for Jeremy, so good choice there. Good choice. But, yeah, let's golf this week.
On to NASCAR. The Cup race was not as fun as the Xfinity race was.
Yeah, I didn't catch the Xfinity race. So what happened?
So, well, a lot of shit happened, but the biggest thing was Larson came from the back and won the race, and it was as you saw. Did you watch the Cup race?
I did. Yes, watched the whole Cup race. Did not catch the Xfinity.
So Xfinity, you know, Hill, Nemechek, they all ran well, but it just, I mean, it came down to. There was just actual lead changes, and homeboy Kyle Larson just came through in the clutch, for always. In the 17 car, by the way.
The 17 Hendrick Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That didn't quite happen on Sunday. Sunday was a different show. The 24 Hendrick Mobile dominated the race. Oh, Billy B took home another win, second win of the year, won at Daytona. So our first repeat winner with William Byron. But, man, I'm telling you what, if Christopher Bell had lap and a half, two laps, he would have got him. And Ty Gibbs didn't quite let him get by fast enough, and I think he could have caught him. Bell definitely had the best car at the end of that race, but Byron was the winner. But, yeah, definitely wasn't that exciting. I hate to say boring. It's not really fair, but kind of a boring race for the first road course of the year.
Well, and that's what I was going to tell you about the Xfinity race. So Larson restarted on lap 46. I think there was, what, like 60 or 70-something laps? Wasn't a lot. But he restarted in lap 46 and 21st and came all the way to win. And it came down to Austin Hill and SVG got into each other in turn one on the last lap, and Larson took advantage of it.
I think Austin Hill's had all top five to start the year, correct?
Sure. So.
Yeah, he should be in Cup next year, no doubt. Dude's a beast. And I like his attitude. I like the no bullshit attitude. Dude's there to win. I think he said that afterwards. He goes, I don't care who SVG is. Don't care about any of this. I finished top five in every race. He wants to race around like that. We'll race like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It's going to get good. But for us, for the standings this week, Dub with Kaz Grala had the worst finish with 27.
Shock.
I got a 5 out of Tyler Reddick. Gray got a 4 out of Showman Bowman. Good showing. Very good showing by him this week. Cody got a 25 out of Austin Dillon. Parrott got a 17 out of Larson. Little disappointing there, but helps us because we need them to struggle. The problem is Jeremy got a 7 out of Ross Chastain. So they're still.
But let him keep burning all the good drivers.
Yeah, it's an interesting strategy, but it's a strategy nonetheless.
But he hasn't finished worse than 15th, and Parrott hasn't finished worse than 17th.
Yeah, so it's a good strategy. I mean, you get them out there, you never know. Can't tell
it's
you
a bold strategy, Cotton.
Can't tell you how many times I took Kyle Larson, that motherfucker finished 25th on me. So I'm happy I used him in a win for once this year. Yeah, but yeah, Jeremy's leading the way at 6.7, Parrott at 8.5. Then it starts getting tight. We have myself at 11, Gray at 11.3, Cody at 17.2, not making picks, and Dub at 19.7, making his own picks. So,
Cody, you're doing better not making picks.
Absolutely hilarious. I love it. But this week, it's the Toyota Owners 400 at Richmond. Eastern night, 7 p.m. race in Richmond. I love it. Love the night race. I'm happy they're doing this on Easter Sunday and they're not taking a week off. So I think that's great. But get a nice short track. And it's a Toyota Owners 400. So Toyota dominates here, right? Not so much. Chevy's won the last three races here. And Harvick fit one in there as Ford. So it's been five races since Toyota has won at Richmond. And they sponsor the track. So it looks like this week, Jeremy is saying Toyota's getting their win back. Marty Truex Jr. for Jeremy this week. Parrot, where are you going?
Have I taken Sticky Ricky Stenhouse?
Nope.
Give me half. Nah.
Ricky spin twice.
Ricky Stenhouse. He's been better lately, so we'll go back to Stenhouse.
All right.
We'll go back to it for Parrot until he starts wrecking again, but he's actually been decent. Honestly, he was having a good Coda race until – who did he get hit by? He got hit by somebody in the back, but he was having a good race. He was, like, top 15, I think. So, I think it's starting to click for him, which I like to see. I like to see that from him because he was – Danica's boyfriend and the butt of a lot of jokes, but he's getting better, so good for old Recky. I'm on the same boat as Jeremy here. I'm going Toyota. I'm going Christopher Bell this week. He just finishes. All he does is finish top five at this track. That's all he does. So I got to take him this week. He's finished top five. He's got a win here in one of the last five or the fifth one. So, or no, I'm sorry, second is what it was. He didn't win. It was Denny who had the Toyota win. But Bell's been there, so it's time for Christopher Bell to win this week. He's had a lot of strong cars. Gray, where are you going this week?
I got to get this guy out of the way because he races well here, and he's going to let me down sometime this year. So give me Joey Logano now.
Joseph Logano. I like it. Cody, who screams Richmond, Virginia to you?
Give me Tyler Reddick.
You already took him.
Yeah, sorry, we probably took him for you.
You
and slash us have used Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Tyler Reddick, Justin Haley, and Austin Dillon. So none of them.
All right, well, give me Ty Dillon.
He does not race in Cup.
Yeah, he does not race in the Cup.
Third time's a charm.
Man, he was on the list. All right.
Maybe he is the racing this week.
Ty Dillon?
He's on the list.
Really? Oh, my bad. My bad if I
Does he got to qualify?
I'm going to look right now. I'm sorry. I thought he was still racing. He is. He's racing the number 16 for Colleague this week. So, yeah, he's going to be in. Ty Dillon for Cody.
There we go. Dark horse.
You got the Dillon brothers back-to-back weeks. Still probably finished better than Dub. And Dub, our last place, took Dennis Hamlin, a.k.a. Douchey McDoucherson number two. His buddy. He didn't use – I thought he was going to use Kyle Busch in one of those, but I guess not.
Nope. Just so, Douche too.
Yeah, so Hamlin for Dub this week. Yeah, should be good. Nothing better than finishing off your Easter night, watching a little bit of NASCAR. Love it. Love it.
God damn it, pal.
God damn, pal.
So, I mean, we don't have many updates and shit. You can update on our bracket. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's a little bit rough. But great turnout. Thanks for everybody with the turnout. So we got 32. Absolutely love it. 32 brackets in, so that's great. Thank you to everyone who got in. You know, right now, the pod is in 17th. Our leader is RVB25 with 510 points, and Purdue as their champion. Second place, T-Money Swag Dog, 480 points, and Purdue is their champion. So T-Money Swag Dog might be a little bit shut out on that. And then we got A. Myers, Answer Key, J. West, DG Picks, at Evan Kettman, and Bird Dog 1163, my boy, all at 460 points, sitting in third place. Or I'm sorry, A. Myers was in third. All the rest of those were in fourth place. My apologies. but 460 points. So only technically 50 points back of the leader right now. And from what it looks like, there's only one, two, three brackets with their national champion eliminated. That would be Kentucky, who got upset by Oakland and old Jack Golke. Love it. Just, man, that dude, once he started shooting lights out, I was like, Kentucky's, they're donezo, man. Absolutely donezo. Love to see it. Auburn ended up losing in the second round. They lost in the first round to Yale, right?
Yes,
yeah. Sir. Yeah, they lost in the first round to Yale. So Kentucky and Auburn, only three brackets out of this tournament so far. Everyone else still has their national championship in there. And, you know, don't look at the total points. Look at the max, right? The max is where you guys are going to be in and can win. So, you know, the possibility of someone else getting most max points is definitely there. So it doesn't matter where you're at now. It matters where you're at down the road. So should be a great Sweet 16 coming up. We have a good bunch of games tonight as you're listening to this, and on Friday for the Sweet 16. Obviously a lot of favorites in this, but you got Clemson and Arizona, San Diego State versus UConn, which is the national championship game from last year rematch. We got probably game of the Sweet 16 in Alabama, North Carolina, going to be a banger Thursday night. And we finish with Illinois and Iowa State. Battle of, do you like offense or do you like defense? That'll be a very interesting game. Think will be a good one. And then on Friday, we have really the only Cinderella left, NC State. They're just hot, dude. They're the hottest team in basketball right now. They've ripped off 8 wins in a row. They won the ACC, and now they've won, two games to get themselves to the Sweet 16. They play Marquette, who has looked good but has been shaky. So I could see NC State potentially pulling an upset. You got Gonzaga and Purdue, going to be a great game. But, man, Purdue and UConn, they just look like they are on a collision course to play each other. Should be a good game there, but I think Purdue's just – I think Edie's going to be a little too much to handle. You got Duke and Houston, should be a good game Friday night, and Creighton and Tennessee. So I think Friday you're definitely getting cream of the crop of games. But I think it's going to be a great Sweet 16. I think we got a lot of good teams, and I think this year we all knew that the one seeds were the best four teams in basketball, and so far they've been showing that. Unfortunately, Sparty looked great for what would you say, Gray, about 6 minutes?
Yep.
By the way, my best bet of the weekend, well, I've had a lot, I've been making money, but I've had a lot of good bets this weekend. When I saw Sparty up 26-13, the North Carolina live line was +6.5. I hammered that immediately. And right after I did that, they come back and what happened? I think North Carolina went on a 19-2 run or something like that. So yeah, that was great. Love to see that. Sorry that Sparty had to be the demise of that, but it was the game I was paying attention to at the time. But they look good. So, unfortunately, I'll probably get you another year at Izzo.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Sorry. And really, I mean, you know, some of your other upsets, you had Grand Canyon beating St. Mary's, dominating St. Mary's, actually. I mean, really just – I don't even think St. Mary's led that game. I think Grand Canyon pretty much led the entire game. Yale beat Auburn in a tight game. Did not think that was going to happen, but it did. Very surprising. Dayton had a great comeback. Unfortunately, ended up losing to Arizona, but Dayton had a hell of a comeback against Nevada, down by 17 with 9 minutes to go. Ended up coming back and winning in the first round. You know, Clemson beating New Mexico, sadly, was an upset. Clemson was the underdog. I think Kansas should have lost to Samford. A couple of bad calls in that game. Samford should have won that game, but Kansas did end up beating them and then ended up getting smoked by Gonzaga. Oregon absolutely smoked South Carolina, went to double overtime with Creighton and lost by 13, which, by the way, Gray, you listen to this. This was Oregon +10.5. Alternate spread was the last leg of a 5-leg parlay. miss a shot at the end of the regulation, which would have won the game, go to overtime. Miss a shot at the end of the first overtime, would have won the game. Go to double overtime, scored 2 points. Creighton outscored them 15-2 in second overtime, lose by 13. I needed them to cover 10.5, and I lost in a double overtime game. Brutal. Brutal. But yeah, you know, I think I've watched a lot of basketball so far, a lot more than I normally do. You know, and I've been impressed with what I've seen. The Houston Texas A&M game was great the other night. Going to overtime and Houston prevailing. So yeah, it's a good tournament, and I think we're gonna have a lot of good games this weekend. So I'm pretty pumped for it. Are you still feeling good of the podcast's pick of Houston to win the national title after the first two games?
Oh, that second one, I didn't feel too good. But, I mean, they led the whole game. It's just, you know, A&M had a good last-second shot. Yeah,
was it fucking 11? They gave up 11 points in a minute and 45 seconds or whatever?
Yeah, so it just happens, and it is what it is. You know, we'll see. Each game's different. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, Sparty showed up for a hot 7 minutes, and then they were gone.
I mean, they dominated Mississippi State. Dominated.
No, they absolutely did.
That game. After the first 5 minutes of that game, it wasn't close.
No, they absolutely dominated them. It was great, and you know, they got the win. And as we knew, we took North Carolina after that, and it was what it was.
Sparty did put up 69 points though, so nice.
Giggity! They won me a square. Round one.
As always, every year. I swear to God, every year you win with Michigan State. I'm pretty sure it's happened the last 3 years. I have to look it up.
I think you're right, but it's
pretty positive.
They just know. You know, even if they lose, they know they want to get me a square.
Cody, since you weren't on last week, who is your national title winner?
UConn.
I think with them, I would love to see Klingon from UConn go up against Edie from Purdue in the national title. I think that would be a hell of a matchup down low. You don't see many big men on big men anymore. It just don't happen. So it would remind you of, like, I feel like the 80s or something like that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, especially like the slow plotting ones like Edie. What they say over the weekend is they say, like, if this was 2004, Edie would be, like, a top pick. He'd be number one pick in the draft.
Well, for sure.
And, like, now, his game, he may or may not get picked. He's, like, a second-round pick at best.
I could see someone risking a little bit on him, you know, obviously just because of his size. But, yeah, I mean, he's just – he just can't run in today's NBA, I don't think.
Yeah, like he's, I don't know. I watched that Purdue game. They played Utah State.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
It wasn't much of a game, but yeah.
Yeah, like Utah State blew that game early in the first half. Like, they just, I don't know, man. They just started panicking when he got the ball down low. And I mean, that's good, but, you know, it's like I said, if he was, you know, this is 2000, you know, the early 2000s, oh, man, he'd be a lottery pick and would probably get dunked on by, like, Tracy McGrady or something. But, like, right now, man, he's good. It kind of lets you know how much men's college basketball has kind of regressed in the last few years, seeing as he was player of the year, I think last year, and there's a good chance he might be player of the year again this year. Like, that's your player of the year. You know, like, we got to do something, especially if they're coming out of Purdue. Like, there's something wrong with that. I mean, he's no Chet. I mean, see what Chet's doing right now, and I don't know, man. UConn is deadly. Like,
they're just so fundamentally sound I don't know how. Yeah. I mean, Dan Hurley has them playing just great basketball. Like, they just, I mean, they're just good, man. They're just good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they're just all around good. And it's overwhelming, too.
Yes. They just know what they're doing. They know where to be, and they just play good, smart basketball. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the Hurley boys, though. And to think, you know, Dan Hurley wasn't the good Hurley coming out of school.
Right.
Like, that's kind of the scary part. He's kind of like the Venus of him and Bobby. He was the Venus to Bobby Serena. A lot of people forget. A lot of people forget how good Bobby Hurley was.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, like you said, it's kind of crazy to see, but I'll tell you what, UConn, you're going to be tough to beat. Tough to beat.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, I don't know, man. This tournament, I've been watching more of the women's tournament, to be honest.
I haven't watched much of that. Seen a little bit of, you know, the Caitlin Clark and all that, because I like watching her play. I think she's a beast. I like that LSU team. You know, they're just solid. South Carolina got a really good team too. But tough part with that is it seems like in women's basketball, it's always going to be cream rise to the top. So I'll wait till the Final Four. Give me, you know, I want to see which side it's on. Like, give me – let me see here. I'll pull it up. But, I mean, I want to see South Carolina and Iowa play.
Yeah, they won't make it that far, though.
Who?
Iowa.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, I was like, South Carolina should.
Dude, South Carolina is steamrolling people.
I just don't know what side of the bracket it's on. Let me see here.
Like, to put in perspective how good South Carolina is, they're – seventh man or seventh woman got drafted into the WNBA. So yeah, their second girl off the bench got drafted. Like, that's how good they are.
Jesus. Yeah, they're so over on the women's side, South Carolina, I mean, they're playing, you know, South Carolina, Notre Dame would be good. But they're top four in that bracket. South Carolina plays Indiana. Oregon State plays Notre Dame. South Carolina and Notre Dame would be the 1-2 in the Elite Eight. At the bottom, Texas, Gonzaga, UNC, Stanford, 1-2-3-4 again. So yeah. Texas and Stanford would be good. In the top right, you got Iowa, Colorado, LSU, UCLA, 1-2-3-5. So there you go. But Iowa, LSU, love to see that there. I mean, I think that's what everybody wants to see. And then on the bottom side, you got a number one USC against number five Baylor, number three UConn against Duke. Obviously, UConn's always hanging around there, but yeah, give me Iowa, LSU in the Elite Eight. I'll watch that. And give me one of those two teams against South Carolina in the championship game, and I'll watch that as well, no doubt.
Yeah, the crazy part, UConn and Paige Beckers is lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and she's a beast.
Yeah, and she's up for, like, she's up for player of the year.
And they're a three seed, and, I mean, everyone's down because UConn's always the one seed who always is undefeated, like, always. But yeah. Dawn Staley, man, she's got South Carolina at that UConn level right now, and I love to see it.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
I like seeing Dawn's interviews. She's just, like, so cool, down to earth. And it's about the team. It's not about one player. It's about the team and winning. It's all she cares about is winning, winning, winning. Then the team. Then it's, I want you to succeed in the WNBA after that. Like, I feel like that's what she sets her players up to do. She's like a mom. She's like a mom that's a coach. which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather see one of her interviews than a Kim Mulkey, I tell you that.
We'll leave that for another episode. It'll be Kim Mulkey versus the Washington Post. we'll have to do a side episode on that.
Oh, like, I can't wait for that article to come out.
Oh, Jesus, that's gonna be brutal. If you haven't seen it, just look up Kim Mulkey versus the Washington Post. Something's coming down. Something's happening. So.
Yeah,
she's suing if they post slander in this art or in this article. It's gonna be interesting.
She won't sue. There'll be nothing to sue about.
Yeah,
like if you want a taste of what that Washington Post article might be, just do a Google search of Kim Mulkey and Baylor. Just do that, and that'll give you all you need to know.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be. I think after this year, it's. She's Angel Reese gonna be gone, and Haley Van Leith will be gone, and she won't have anything at LSU, and all this will come out, and no one will remember who she is.
Oh yeah, that's my prediction. She'll be swept under, especially now that women's college basketball, or just women's basketball in general, is making that turn. Like they're kind of making that evolution. You know, they're kind of doing their late 80s, early 90s NBA turn right now, mm-hmm. where it's picking up in popularity and the players are getting better, you know, and the game is getting interesting. The only thing I wish they would stop doing just with women's sports in general is stop letting these women or try to portray these female athletes as like dainty and delicate.
Mm-hmm.
Like show them as the killers that they are.
Yeah, I agree. Cause they are. I mean, seriously, Caitlin Clark is the best shooter in basketball. I'm not talking women's, men's, NBA. She is the best shooter right now in basketball. For sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man.
If she is, man, I mean.
I don't know. Sabrina Ionescu would like to have a word.
I get it. I'm saying right now. I'm not saying all time. I'm not, you know, everyone likes to mix words. And I know you're not. I'm just saying, in my opinion, right now, in all of basketball, she is the best mm-hmm. shooter.
I mean, you could say it, though.
I mean, what? I've watched Steph Curry have 3 0-for-halves in the NBA who don't play defense, by the way. These girls are double teaming Caitlin Clark, and she's posting up from 35 feet and swishing threes like with it's nothing. It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. I agree. I think Sabrina is an absolute baller, but right now she ain't playing. So that's why I'm saying the best shooter in basketball right now is Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, and it's just crazy because like Paige Beckers is still there. Like Paige Beckers is still at UConn, and we just forgot all about her.
Mm-hmm. Until UConn they're making their little run, and the worst place for everyone else right now is for UConn to be under the table and no one talking about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a good place. It should be scary for them.
Speaking of Caitlin Clark, Ice Cube offered her $5 million to be the first woman to join Big Three. Why wouldn't you take it? Fuck, pay 10 games, make more than you will in the WNBA.
I agree. At least for now. Yeah. I mean, but I think there's too much. That's the tough part. I think there's too much and with the WNBA for like, and I get it. There's stars there, but the way what she's doing right now, they're going to put her name on top of everything.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. Like the Big Three's audience they don't really know who Caitlin Clark is. They're not going to see Caitlin Clark. I'm sorry.
But $5 million is $5 million.
Yeah, I get it. But where's your return on that $5 million investment? Hell, the league ain't worth but 5 and a quarter.
Well, but she gets $5 million. play the 10 games and then go to the WNBA and make the league maximum of 234,000, which she won't make yet.
You say that's the league maximum?
That's the league maximum.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's why they all go overseas to play. Because you can get, hell, they can go get that $5 million in Russia.
Mother Russia.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Her salary in year one might be 76 grand in the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
Sit a year out, go to the big three, make your $5 million, and then go do some other shit, play overseas, come back.
Yeah, but the big three is only worth $6 million.
But she gets five regardless. Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
WNBA is worth negative $50 million. So
listen, man, if I'm going to watch the big three, I'm going to watch ISO Joe. All right.
He's gonna. Is he taking his ball up in a walker? Come on, man.
I'm watching ISO Joe Johnson and Katino Mobley. All right. When I watch the big three, I'm watching it to say,
and then they're gonna be embarrassed when fucking Caitlin Clark's just making every shot in her face.
It's only half court.
And still, she's gonna make every shot in her face.
I mean, pretty soon Jimmer Fredette will be playing in it, so that's what I'm waiting on.
Jimmer Fredette, still alive.
What did I just still see? Alive. I just saw an article with him.
Yeah, he's going to be playing for in the Olympics.
The Olympics, yep. Yeah. 3-on-3, that's right.
Yeah,
nice. Oh, yeah, 3-on-3 is this year, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
BYU needed him walking through that door.
Yeah, they did. So, we got Caitlin Clark there, all right? And so we know that. She got that offer, big three. Here's some other things here. I found this interesting. Four guys. Or five guys this year in free agency in the MLB. Cody Bellinger, he wanted 200 plus million, settled for 80 with the Cubs. Chapman won 150 plus million, declined 100 million from the Blue Jays, accepted 54 from the Giants. Snell wanted 300 million, declined 168 million with the Yankees, took 62 with the Giants. Martinez wanted 50 million, declined 15 million from the Giants, took 12 million with the Mets. And Jordan Montgomery wanted 170 million, got 25 million for 1 year with Texas.
Yeah, I just
or now with Texas with the Diamondbacks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he just signed like yesterday, right?
Yep. Some other fun things I saw. Fucking LeBron. I know Cody's
with all them guys though, right?
Yeah.
Those are all Scott Boras guys.
Yep. Cody's favorite, LeBron James. I thought this was hilarious. What it feels like coming home after a game. That's what he mentioned on Mind the Game podcast. Just imagine buying a 2003 Escalade and it's 2024 and you never change the tires. So rub my feet, please. That's what he told Savannah. Fucking great.
Oh, man.
Derrick Henry is the only human being on the planet to ever walk this earth. Well, only human being to ever walk this earth to rush for 2,000 yards in high school, college, and NFL in a season.
Impressive.
He's going to average 4 yards a carry at 50.
Oh, this was my favorite. So this is a question for both of you. So in high school, who is the high school stats, all-time in Ohio, all-time leading career point getter? Most points in a career in Ohio high school basketball.
Basketball?
Yes.
I think it's John Diebler.
It is John
Diebler still.
I was going to say, because Kennard's second, right?
Yep, John Diebler. Who has the most assist in a high school career?
For Ohio?
Yep.
Diebler?
I need more.
I want to say Jim Jackson.
No.
Well,
I need more, Bear.
Diebler's brother.
the coach of Ohio State, Jake Diebler. Yes.
I wanted to say Joe, but I knew that wasn't right. So,
who has the most steals in high school history?
John Diebler.
Jake Diebler.
Damn it.
Coach at Ohio State. Get this. In his high school career, 578 steals.
Jesus.
In Ohio State, didn't even make the tournament.
They couldn't. They started out shit, but they're fucking 10-2 under Jake Diebler.
Fucking Chris Holman, piece of shit.
Got rid of Holman, piece of shit, and look at him now, 10-2.
Look at me now. Diebler. And they lost to Georgia last night.
Did whatever. They? He was still on staff.
What was the score on that?
78-76.
Damn. I found this comparison wild. So, North Carolina's starting five average age is 22.2. Oklahoma City Thunder starting five average age, 22.6.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking wild.
It's insane, man. That's why North Carolina got to give it a shot this year.
Yep. Shout out to the Yale marching band, unable to make it to Spokane, Washington for the NCAA tournament. University of Idaho band heard about it, learned the Yale's fight song, and supported them in their win over Auburn.
I saw that. I thought that was really cool.
That's awesome. quote of the night on Monday, Cody knows it. You don't do drugs, you don't drink, but you spend all your time in rehab. Drew McIntyre to CM Punk. That was just fucking gold. That whole segment was great. And did you know, besides Michael Hayes, who like one of the top producers is now?
Road Dogg?
No.
Hell no.
Top producer now that's only been producing for about 6 months.
Ain't it a... No, I don't know. I was going to say it's Helms, but he's been there for a while.
Nope. But you're and right. Dykstra's he's been there for a while. From, Bobby,
yeah, Dykstra's been there for a while.
Bobby Roode, baby.
Huh.
He produced the opening shit with Dwayne and the fam and then Dwayne and Cody.
Good for him.
Nice. Yeah. So that's the thing, man. That's why WWE is getting so much better. Because they have guys that, you know, could actually, you know, talk on the mic and actually draw people. Now they're producing.
Right.
You know, you got Bobby Roode. I mean, Helms. He wasn't that bad. Hell, Kenny Dykstra's back there. You know, Jamie Noble's still around. Like, this is why everything turned around, man.
Jamie Noble, still around.
Still in the league.
Still in the league. Another thing, Ronda Rousey, she had an interview with Cage Side Seats. This was pretty good about Charlotte and Rhea Ripley at Mania last year. Wasn't supposed to go as long as it did, but Charlotte, quote, threw her dick on the table and said no. They weren't supposed to go that long. The whole time the referee is telling them to go backstage and Charlotte threw her big dick on the table and said no. We're going to do this awesome fucking match, and that's what the women are dealing with. They're not allowed to show their fucking amazing that they are because of the crowd's going to be tired for the guys match afterward. That's bullshit. So for the first time, Charlotte has used her last name to benefit the entire locker room. Props to her, which obviously we know that was a good match, her and Rhea at Mania last year.
I don't believe none of that shit. They gave them all that time to begin with.
Oh,
God. I ain't believing Ronda Rousey. The woman that didn't want to be there in the first place. You mean to tell me you're going to cut Charlotte and Rhea Ripley short in front of a live crowd?
A lot of them might do that.
When they had that, you're not going to do it at Mania. Not at Mania. No, if it was freaking, now if you said this was Backlash or Money in the Bank, okay. But, like, come on, Ronda. We don't believe you. You need more people. She's trying to sell a book.
Right. Well, that too. Also, I know we missed this last week, but Wayne Simmons announced his retirement from the NHL. Great career. Played 240 games with the Kings, 584 with the Flyers, 17 with the Predators, 61 with the Devils, 7 with the Sabres, and 128 with the Maple Leafs. Dude was a beast.
I thought he retired years ago.
No, he just retired.
Damn.
What's going on?
This is for you guys in the AM.
Cody recording a podcast, trying to be the boss.
Oh, I love it. We got scheduling.
But yeah, UFC this past week, Thug Rose looked good.
She did. Not too much excitement out of that besides a dude getting his arm bit, which I don't know if you saw, but dude he got tatted on his arm where the bite mark was. He got
yes. Mark tatted, amazing.
Put around it, bite of the night. I loved it. And Dana paid him, man. Dana paid him for it.
Didn't say bite of the night. I got something.
He paid him $50,000 for bite of the, not fight of the night, bite of the night. Which I thought was hilarious and good for Dana giving him an extra check because that's just bullshit. Cut the other dude. So he will not be fighting the UFC anymore. That was
old. He's cut immediately.
Yeah. Immediately. Which I mean, you can't be doing that shit. I mean, that was a deep bite. Deep. It was insane. So yeah. Other than that though, I did not see much of the card. And from what I did see, I was bored. So. Didn't watch too much. Probably watched a little bit more this weekend. But before we go to that, we're doing our MLB preview right now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Baseball starts today. It's opening season. I got into a fantasy baseball league, so I got that going. You got Crabman behind you. you tell Crabman to calm down. But yeah, we're gonna do this. This is gonna be very simple. Do it every year. We're not doing this one in September. We're doing it now. Champ, runner up, games, and your surprise team. I'll start it off. We'll get it going. My champ this year, I'm gonna stick in the AL. I think it's gonna be the Braves year. I got crazy last year, and I'm not doing that shit again. I think there's going to be three really good teams this year. It'll be the Braves, Dodgers, and I think Orioles. I think Orioles are going to stay up there and be really good in the AL East. I actually think they're going to make it. I think this is going to be the year of Baltimore, man. Something about Baltimore and the Ravens are, you know, they should have been up there. I think the O's are finally going to make the postseason, but end up losing to the Braves. I think they got enough pieces. We're going to see. It's all about starting pitching, but I think they got the pieces to do it. I think the Braves will beat them in six. And my surprise team this year is I think my surprise team this year is going to be the Reds. I think they're going to win the NL Central. They got a lot of injuries to overcome. I think it's going to be a slow start to the year. But I think the Reds are – I'm calling them a surprise. Obviously, they did well last year. I'm calling them a surprise because I think they're going to win the NL Central, which will be a surprise. No one's picking them to win the Central.
So yep.
Give me the Reds as my surprise team this year. Where are you going, Gray?
What I do last year, Yankees. Yeah, give me them again.
Yankees dads.
I don't give a shit. And not the dads, though. I'm going to go an old classic. Give me the Dodgers. And because I would just love them to shit all over that team. And I agree with you on the Reds. And same reason, like they came in and they're never expected to do much because, you know, they're the Reds and they have a star and usually they go to shit and they get hurt or they trade them or fucking they leave, whatever. But this year I think they'll do it. And I hope he stays there, man. He's a stud.
Yeah. Yeah. And games, Yankees, Dodgers, World Series, number of games. Yankees in?
Seven.
Yankees in seven. Parrot? Baseball.
My favorite sport.
Last year you were Braves over Yankees in six with the Tigers as your surprise team.
The Royals are my surprise team this year.
Okay, I like it.
I'm picking the Braves in the NL. And in the AL, let's go. I'm going Baltimore.
And who you got winning?
Atlanta.
In how many games?
Six.
All right. Cody, if you're not making the schedule.
Yo. All right.
Baseball champion, runner-up, surprise team, number of games for the series.
Oh, man, we're doing this early this year, huh?
That's right. We ain't waiting till September. We're doing it now. I'm texting Dub right now. We all know Tigers will be his surprise team, so I'll just pencil that in.
Great. I want to go like Parrot. Braves over Orioles. And Braves in five.
And your surprise team.
Just because I like their only because I used to sell their jerseys, man. I'm gonna go with the Twins as my surprise team.
You think they're gonna lose to the Orioles in like the final or in the AI for the pennant or?
Yeah.
Okay, because they're supposed to win the Central again.
Yeah. But the Central is so bad.
They haven't won a playoff series in what, 20 years or some shit?
Yeah, exactly. They didn't even want a playoff series. So
I didn't think they won a playoff game, have they?
Man, like, that's going to be the surprise. They're going to win a playoff game.
Oh, man. Really quick, while I have it up, let's look at how we're doing. Champions, we got for hockey, Avalanche, Vegas, Avalanche, Avalanche, Oilers. And Wings for Nick. He doesn't count. but they're all in it, so we're also alive there. And then for the NBA, Bucks, Nuggets, and Celtics. So all still there as well. Should be a good run to the end here. We got about 2 weeks left of NBA and hockey season. Regular season, that is. Then we get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Boston better hope to God they don't run up against Philly.
Boston loves to blow leads, don't they? They are really good at blowing leads.
But to their credit, in the last five games, they benched three of their starters, every one of them, letting them sit, fucking be healthy.
Hey.
But they still blew a lead.
You go up by 30 points in the National Basketball Association, you should never blow that lead.
Well, how many times has that happened this year? About 10?
One.
I'm sorry.
They were up by 30.
They're the only team to go up by 30 this year and lose.
Jesus. I thought they were up by like 26.
Give them time. They'll do it in the second round of the playoffs again.
Oh, shut up. They haven't lost in the second round in quite a while.
Oh, man. That's good, though. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a good run. I think there's a lot of good teams, and I think we're going to get really good playoffs for both the NBA and the NHL. And I know, as much as Cody hates to see it, dude, them pesky Lakers are just there. And who's the one who just keeps keeping them there? Austin Reeves, Cody's boy. Cody's boy keeping them alive. Won the game last night. Big comeback, making threes from every end of the court.
Yeah, whatever.
He's going to be your finals MVP, and I'll buy you his jersey so you can wear it everywhere with pride.
I can't wait till this damn era is over with. Good God. Can't wait till freaking Genie wakes up. Kobe's ghost is going to give Genie that same talk he gave Mitch Kupchak one day at a practice. And then she's going to trade LeBron to Oklahoma City.
San Antonio.
You can get half. Either one. We'll get Wimby. We'll take Wimby back.
You ain't getting Wimby.
Give up half the roster for Wimby.
The Spurs will give up everything but Wimby.
They'll probably get rid of half of them jokers anyway. Because who's the one dude that looks like Rodman? The one guard that looks like Rodman and plays like Rodman and like takes all the Wimby shots.
From San Antonio?
Yeah. I can't think of his name Vassell? Right now.
Devin Vassell?
Who is it? No, Devin I don't think. Is he the one with the blonde hair?
Jeremy Sochran, I think. Sochran.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He gonna be out of the league. He taking all the windy shots. Man, Poppy gonna tolerate that. You gotta at least be good to take shots from Wimby. That dude is awful.
I mean, I can't believe that they are, dude. Wemby is, he's just having himself a year, man.
I know it. Him and Chet, freaking cheat code. That's they should have just had him and Chet just run, just play king of the court during All-Star weekend.
They should have. They're going to be, I mean, they look good. They look really good.
Like, it's, oh my God, that's a cheat code, man. This is not right.
Wemby, and imagine he's still got weight to put on. Like,
dude, that's the scary part. Him and Chet.
He's going to be bigger. They both do, but Wemby's going to be bigger and longer than Giannis. Chet is just going to get stronger, but dude, Chet's mid range. I mean, God, it's impressive. I didn't think he was. I was down on Chet. Would not have thought he was going to be as good of rookie as he is. So. I think he's gonna get there.
It's amazing. As soon as he got out of that damn, got out of Gonzaga, like I don't know. I didn't see him being this good. Like, I seen him being good. Like, he'd be all right and serviceable. But man, Chet's a monster.
I think it's one of those two where he is on the correct team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's on the right team.
Yeah.
If you put him with Portland, I don't think he's doing this. He got the best bet in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and they know what they're doing in OKC, man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. They're building something special. They got a good core, and SGA is just – dude's a silent killer, man. He's averaging 30 a game. Like, he's just – and no one's talking about him. It's insane.
Right. Right, he might be MVP, honestly.
He should be MVP.
Because, my God.
Now, the only thing that pissed me off is their stupid commercial they got for March Madness, which I saw 8 million times of them singing. I want to break my TV every time I see it. That's like the only bad thing I got to say about that commercial. I mean, about them, that commercial.
Yeah, they got to do better.
It's brutal.
Like, I mean, just, you know, looking at these new guys coming up, thank God we don't do the USA versus the world again.
That's true.
Oh, my God. It would not be pretty.
Cody, this will make you feel good. So on Monday, your boy Drew McIntyre. Well, let me premise this. In an AEW media scrum back in 2002, CM Punk recommended to fans that they should try Mindy's Bakery in Chicago. So after hearing that, Drew McIntyre took CM Punk's advice and went to visit the same bakery with the CM Punk shirt on. He gets there, he's talking about it. He gets there, he's like, of course they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. Because why would you be closed on Mondays and Tuesdays as a business? Probably tastes like crap anyway. And then shows his shirt, and it's a CM Punk shirt, a white one, but he wrote over it, DM Hunk. What? I'm like, dude is good. Like, he's gotten so good on the mic. Like, he's solid. And then when he ripped the shirt off yesterday on Monday Night Raw and said, oh, sorry, I struggled to get this off with my biceps, you know, something you never knew about. And just shit, like, he was just on point on Monday.
Oh, my God. Dude. Oh, nice. Man.
Nice to see
you. You know, the best thing to happen was for old Pervy Vince to get exiled, man.
Orioles Cubs? Sorry. <damn. laughs> Go ahead, Cody.
Like, that was just the best thing, man. Because now, like, you can tell, like, people are is getting back to that old, you know, kind of like the beginning of the Attitude Era, where guys are just themselves and turned all the way up to 12. Because, I mean, like, Drew McIntyre, like, he's a funny dude.
Yeah, he is.
And he's got that, you know, he's got them barbs to him, but And but then you can only get those types of barbs if you actually remotely get along with the person. So, like that's how you know that locker room, man. Like that locker room is I don't know, I guess a harmony in a way. 'Cause I mean, if they didn't get along, I mean, look what happened to the last dude that did get along with CM Punk and said something crazy on camera.
Right.
Punk went and choked him out. Him and his brother.
Yeah, I think everyone forgot
Then,
that. I think everyone forgot CM Punk like legitimately went to UFC.
yeah, like CM Punk is about that life, man. He beat up two brothers at one time and then sent a third dude to Japan.
Dude, Japan.
Goddamn.
Hey, we ain't heard from Jack Perry since.
Yeah, there was some shit on there that TK is still pissed off at Jack Perry because he cost him CM Punk.
Hell yeah, I'd be mad too. That cost me CM Punk, the only person to get me a million viewers on my TV show, and possibly cost me a TV deal. Hey, man, ain't nobody hanging around for the Big Bang Theory to watch Jack Perry wrestle.
No, they'll just tune into the Big Bang Theory.
Hey, man.
Young Sheldon, though, one of the best.
As I said, there ain't enough Young Sheldon reruns either.
Yeah, no, there's not. But all right, let's wrap this
RIP
shit
to
up, man. We're only doing
the
one
Young
show this week.
Sheldon too, man.
It's a good show.
Wasn't this the last season?
This is, yeah.
Yeah, man. RIP.
That kid was good. All right, Bear, are you left or right?
I am right this week. I was left last week. You start us off UFC in Atlantic City, not the Apex, Atlantic City Saturday night, just a fight night though.
Bird, I wish I was going to tell the bird. I wish that. What is he doing?
I like this profile. No, keep it
Yeah.
there, bird. Don't move it. I like it. It's a good profile.
I just saw his head. Like, what's he doing? Like, jacking off, like getting head,
He's doing exercises.
I was gonna say something, but I'm at work and we getting recorded.
No, I was gonna tell Bird, like, Migos Fight Night needs to be the theme song for UFC Fight Night.
Nice.
All right, bantamweight bout from the United States, Angel Pacheco.
And from Ireland, Colin Lowren.
From the United States, middleweight bout +170, Dog Andre Petroski.
And the -205 favorite from Aussie, Jacob Malkoon.
Women's flyweight bout from Mother Russia, Victoria Dudikova.
And from Brazil, Melissa John Gatto.
Light heavyweight bout from nowhere, silhouette man, Ibo Aslan.
He got no picture or a country. That ain't even real. From Sweden, Anton Turkals.
From the United States, featherweight bout, no odds yet, Dennis Bazookja.
And also from the United States, Connor Matthews.
Cody, the featherweight bout, small favorite at -455. Julio, I'm gonna kick your arse.
God, I hope that's his nickname. And his opponent from Brazil, +350 dog, Herbert the Pervert Burns.
Want a popsicle?
Want to see my purple heart?
Like that one I say, you the mosquitoes. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Fucking killed me. Oh, God.
I got a sidebar. I was showing, I saw the, I think I sent you the other one where Peter asked Lois for 28,000 to open the sushi rest. It's like the best open of Family Guy. And I showed that to a dude at work today. And oh my, I thought he wasn't going to make it. He was laughing so hard.
So goddamn funny.
I just want to yell at customers when they walk in, Lois. I don't care about the sushi.
Yeah, exactly. Women's strawweight bout from Brazil. Are we sure? Verna Jandiroba.
Yeah, she's the fifth ranked strawweight. And she's the dog going up against the favorite. -198, the number 10th ranked women's strawweight from Mexico, Lupi Godinez.
Featherweight bout +170 from the United States, Nate Landwehr.
And also from the United States, -205 favorite, Jamal Emmers.
And on to your main card, welterweight bout, -170 from the United States, Chidi Njokuana.
I thought you were going to say bang, bang.
Chitty, chitty.
And his opponent from nowhere, +142 dog, Rise McKee.
From the United States, -218, Bill Algie. Oh.
And the +180 dog from Canada, Kyle Nelson.
Middleweight bout from Uzbekistan, Nursultan Ruzaboev.
And from the United States, Sidigris Amy Dumas.
Middleweight bout +225 from the United States. Chris, I can't believe I'm still in the UFC. Weidman.
Is he going to break another leg? I know, right. Man. Going still up against... We're going to find out. -278 favorite from Brazil, Bruno Silva. Oh, poor Chris Weidman. He's about to get retired.
Yeah. Welterweight bout, -120 from Brazil, Vicente Luca.
And the +100 dog from the United States, Joaquin Buckley.
And women's flyweight bout in your main event, -198. Number 2 women's flyweight, Erin Blanchfield from the United States.
Yeah, second women's main event in a row. And a +164 dog from Francais, Manon Fierat. Do you think she likes French fries?
No. Where are French fries from? We gave you French fries, France.
Shit. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about this card. I don't know. I'm going to watch it, though. These are the cards that I like because there's not a lot of names on it that I know. Normally, it's a good card, so I'll probably get into this card.
Sweet.
I think that's it. I don't think we got anything else, do we? Is there anything else to talk about? When's WrestleMania? 2 weeks?
Next week.
All right. So we got WrestleMania picks next week.
Which we'll do those on probably the show might be recorded on Sunday or Monday.
Whew, saucy.
Don't be an early one.
Oh, Nick Nurse is going off on the refs right now. Huh. Oh, he's screaming at the refs. They just had like 3 bad calls in a row. Cost Philly the win.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was in Philly.
Oh, dude. I mean, these were bad calls.
Well, you know, can't really go against the spreads. Everybody can't take a bad beast.
They have chicken in Philly?
Yeah. I think they do.
All right. So we get a 1 for this week because there's just too much shit. And it's already 10 o'clock. It's past 10. Cody kept this show going on too long.
I love it. That's what we're here for, midnight, Cody.
Let's say, well, you always blame me. What kind of stuff is that? Racism, man.
No, oh, it's just because you never show up, so you get your 4 episodes worth in every 4th episode because you only show up every 4th episode.
You better show up next week for WrestleMania picks.
On Sunday or Monday.
I'm better than most of our... I show up more than most of our audience daddies, man.
That's probably not wrong. So
All 27 of them.
Yep, that's right.
That's right.
Damn. That's fucked. Well, thanks to Wes Anderson. Thanks to All Work Clothing, Crandall Squad and Landscaping, Connell Bear, DatingTransformation.com, Paper Denim Art, Greiky Merch, and Sparty Steve. And as always, good morning, Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night.
Shouting out my homie Bird Dog. He's been listening, so he's pushing more. We'll see if he listens all the way to the end this time.
Daddy's home. Let's go have a catch, son.